Moses sees the crucifixion and the earth made new. He followed the Savior to Gethsemane and beheld the agony in the garden, the betrayal, the mockery and scourging, the crucifixion. Moses saw that as he had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of God must be lifted up, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grief, indignation, and horror filled the heart of Moses as he viewed the hypocrisy and satanic hatred manifested by the Jewish nation against their Redeemer. He heard Christ's agonizing cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He saw him lying in Joseph's new tomb. The darkness of hopeless despair seemed to enshroud the world. But he looked again and beheld him a conqueror ascending to heaven, escorted by adoring angels and leading a multitude of captives. Moses beheld the disciples of Jesus as they went forth to carry his gospel to the world. Though Israel according to the flesh had failed to be the light of the world, though they had forfeited their blessings as his chosen people, yet God had not cast off the seed of Abraham. All who through Christ should become the children of faith were to be counted as Abraham's seed, inheritors of the covenant promises. Like Abraham, they were called to make known to the world the law of God and the gospel of his Son. Moses saw the light of the gospel shining through the disciples of Jesus, and thousands from the lands of the Gentiles flocking to the brightness of its rising. He rejoiced in the increase and prosperity of Israel. And now another scene passed before him. He had been shown the work of Satan in leading the Jews to reject Christ while they professed to honor his father's law. He now saw the world under a similar deception in professing to accept Christ while they rejected God's law. He had heard from the priests and elders the frenzied cry, "Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And now he heard from professedly Christian teachers the cry, "Away with the law!" He saw the Sabbath trodden underfoot and a spurious institution established in its place. Moses was filled with astonishment and horror. How could those who believed in Christ set aside the law which is the foundation of his government in heaven and earth? With joy Moses saw the law of God still honored and exalted by a faithful few. He saw the last great struggle of earthly powers to destroy those who keep God's law. He heard God's covenant of peace with those who have kept his law, as he utters his voice from his holy habitation. He saw the second coming of Christ in glory, the righteous dead raised to immortal life, and the living saints translated without seeing death and together ascending with songs of gladness to the city of God. Still another scene opens to his view, the earth freed from the curse, lovelier than the fair land of promise so lately spread out before him. There is no sin, and death cannot enter. With joy unutterable, Moses looks upon the scene, a more glorious deliverance than his brightest hopes have ever pictured. Their earthly wanderings forever past, the Israel of God have at last entered the goodly land. Again the vision faded, and his eyes rested upon the land of Canaan in the distance. Then, like a tired warrior, he lay down to rest. So Moses the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre. Many would have been in danger of committing idolatry over his dead body, had they known the place of his burial. For this reason it was concealed from men. Angels of God buried the body of his faithful servant and watched over the lonely grave. But he was not long to remain in the tomb. Christ himself, with the angels who had buried Moses, came down from heaven to call forth the sleeping saint. Satan had exulted at his success in causing Moses to sin and thus come under the dominion of death. The great adversary declared that the divine sentence, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return," gave him possession of the dead. The power of the grave had never been broken, and all who were in the tomb he claimed as his captives, never to be released. As the Prince of Life and the Shining Ones approached the grave, Satan was alarmed for his supremacy. He stood to dispute an invasion of the territory that he claimed as his own. He declared that even Moses was not able to keep the law of God. He had taken to himself the glory due to Jehovah, the very sin which had caused Satan's banishment from heaven, and by transgression had come under the dominion of Satan. The archtraitor reiterated the original charges he had made of God's injustice toward him. Christ might have brought against him the cruel work which his deceptions had wrought in heaven, causing the ruin of a vast number of its inhabitants. He might have pointed to the falsehoods told in Eden that had led to Adam's sin and brought death upon the human race. He might have reminded Satan that it was his own work in tempting Israel to murmuring and rebellion which had wearied the long-suffering patience of their leader and in an unguarded moment surprised him into the sin for which he had fallen under death. But Christ referred all to his Father, saying, "The Lord rebuke thee." The Savior entered into no dispute with his adversary, but then and there began his work of breaking the power of the fallen foe and bringing the dead to life. Here was evidence of the supremacy of the Son of God. Satan was despoiled of his prey, the righteous dead would live again. Moses came forth from the tomb glorified and ascended with his deliverer to the city of God. God shut Moses out of Canaan to teach a lesson which should never be forgotten, that he requires exact obedience and that men are to beware of taking to themselves the glory due their Maker. He could not grant the prayer of Moses that he share the inheritance of Israel, but he did not forget or forsake his servant. On the top of Pisgah, God called Moses to an inheritance infinitely more glorious than the earthly Canaan. Upon the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was present with Elijah, who had been translated. And thus the prayer of Moses was at last fulfilled. He stood upon the goodly mountain, within the heritage of his people, bearing witness to him in whom all the promises to Israel centered. Such is the last scene revealed to mortal vision in the history of that man so highly honored of heaven.